Dear brothers and sisters, it is truly a gift to posterity, a gift to the church, that St. John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, decided to record this event in his gospel. It's a very human, wonderful dynamic between Jesus and his mother. Notice that Mary is really the star of the event. When John wrote it, he said, "There was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." The mother of Jesus was there. She was introduced first. She was introduced first. And then following that, oh, by the way, Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. Mary is the protagonist, really, of this event, of this wedding. And she comes to Jesus, her son, in the midst of this wedding, and says to him, "They have no wine. They have no wine." And what does Jesus say? What's that got to do with me? Why is that my problem? Look, I'm here with my friends, and I just want to enjoy this wedding. Is that okay? I can see it happening. That's something I would say. Okay? In this dynamic, you know, the mother is always going to the son and saying, "Would you do this? Would you do this?" It's a very human thing. But Jesus gives an important meaning also to his response. What's this got to do with me? And then he says, "My hour has not yet come." Realize what you're asking of me. Everyone will know. Well, certainly the disciples will know. This will be the beginning of the end. This will be the beginning that leads to Jesus' hour. Right? And what does Mary do? Absolutely confident that her son, knowing her son as she does through and through, despite his response to her, she goes to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." And she just goes on. Do whatever he tells you. And of course, Jesus performs the miracle. We should not lose sight of this dynamic, dear brothers and sisters, because it shows that Mary is very solicitous of people. She had a compassionate heart. She realized that there would be great embarrassment here at this party that she was attending, and she went to fix things. She went to fix things, and Jesus fixed it. Jesus fixed it. Now, if she did that before, or as Jesus launched, we could say, has launched the ministry that would ultimately lead to his death and resurrection, his hour, that word hour is very, very important in John's writing, then of course she'll have the same solicitation for all her children, because we became Mary's children at the cross. At the cross. When Jesus turned to Mary and said, "Woman, see again, woman, behold your son." And then to John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, John tells us, he took her into his home. He took her into his home. Jesus made John responsible for his mother. And Mary was made responsible for all of the disciples. That's why in that first reading, we see after the ascension, when Jesus giving the disciples the charge, the apostles, wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Spirit as he's ascending, right? Stay in Jerusalem and wait for the outpouring of the promise. And they did. And Mary was there. St. Luke tells us. They were all gathered in the upper room. They returned to the upper room, and they were at prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary's right there in the heart of the church. And what was she doing? She was being solicitous for the brothers. She was being solicitous for the brothers. And 150 years ago tomorrow, in an obscure place, it's interesting how Mary picks these places. Of course, the instigation of the Holy Spirit, the very love of God, she shows up in the midst of a crisis. This town, this obscure town in France, Pontmain, is going to be overrun any day by the Prussian army during the Franco-Prussian War. And the Blessed Mother appears in the sky to a group of six children, and only they could see her. Only they could see her. But they weren't all related. And the parents knew that their child was certainly honest. And Mary appears in the midst of this crisis, the town being in danger of being overrun, and she had a simple message. But pray, my children. And this very profoundly, my son allows himself to be moved with compassion. My son allows himself to be moved with compassion. Mary went to Jesus and said, they have no wine. And he ultimately was moved by compassion. Jesus knew the embarrassment the couple would face. And this town was going to be overrun. Pray. So they were praying. They were singing a hymn. A hymn that included the words, Mother of Hope. Mary, Mother of Hope. And that very day, the movement of the Prussian army was halted. 10 days later, an armistice. The town was saved by Mary, the Mother of Hope. Mary, the Mother of Hope. What is hope? It's that wonderful theological virtue infused in us by baptism, given to us by God with a supernatural perspective. That's the key. Our hope is to make it to heaven. Our hope is to grow in love for God. Our hope is trust that God will fulfill his promises. And we can add to that, although it's not defined, we could add to that trust in our Blessed Mother's intercession. St. Louis de Montfort once said, and that was the key to his great understanding, that the quickest way to Jesus is through Mary. The quickest way to Jesus is through Mary, through his mother. So if times you feel lost, uncertain, tried in patience with the cares of life, just remember that Mary is probably looking at you and saying to Jesus, look at that poor thing. Look at that poor thing. Will you do something for that one? Will you do something for that one? And Jesus will supply what we need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. He will reinvigorate through the Holy Spirit our hope. Our hope is absolute confidence that God loves us and that he'll see us through. To what? To heaven. And whatever crosses we bear, whatever challenges we face, hope, the virtue of hope, makes it sweet. Makes it sweet. You know, my friends, if we never had any difficulty, if we never had any challenges, if there was no obstacles in our way, what would the meaning of the word perseverance be? We'd have no meaning. If there weren't times when we were afraid, what would the meaning of the word courage be? What would it mean? What would fortitude mean? And what does Jesus do time and time again? He calls us and he says, follow me. He says, follow me. And we abandon ourselves to him. When we abandon ourselves to him, when we show him that we're confident in him, that's the greatest honor we can give to God. That's the greatest honor we can give to Christ. And the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Hope, is always, always pointing to Jesus. And she says over and over again, do whatever he tells you. Don't do that. Do what he tells you. Don't do what you want. Do what he tells you. The mother's advice is always good. That first reading, which is from Sirach, reveals a link between wisdom and obedience, wisdom and the law. It was written very late, not too much time before the arrival of Jesus on the scene, you know. And it said, and it reveals wisdom as a person. It conceptualized wisdom as a person. The sacred author was on the right track. The Holy Spirit was definitely inspiring this because, again, going back to de Montfort, who was French, de Montfort realized that Jesus, he always taught this, Jesus is incarnate wisdom. Jesus is incarnate divine wisdom. And originally God made that connection with his people through the law. So that wisdom can only be attained through fear of God, and to be wise, a person must keep the law. In the law, wisdom is expressed in the language of men. God made himself intelligible, understood by us as creatures. And our passage that we have tonight is part of a eulogy in which wisdom praises herself. And she finds a place to settle in the Temple of Jerusalem. And there she takes root. So important. Why? Because the church is the new Jerusalem. We see that especially in the book of Revelation. And from there, from that place in the new Jerusalem, wisdom points out the way to follow. Christ is always with his people. He promised us that. The end of Matthew's gospel. I will be with you always till the end of the age. And so the course of wisdom of God, we can trace it from God to the law and then to becoming flesh in Christ. As I say, Jesus is incarnate wisdom. And we have that wisdom. Why? Because we have Christ's word. More to the point, we have Christ's very self, his very presence in the Eucharist. And how wonderful it is for us to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. When we receive Jesus in Holy Communion, we receive the risen living Christ who goes with us out the door into the circumstances of our lives. Is there any reason then we should fear? Hopelessness has no place in a disciple. We get in our darkest moments. It's then that God reveals his light. Christ is present. We have the words of Mary, do whatever he tells you. So how wonderful it is that we're in a parish dedicated to Our Lady of Hope, our mother, who is so close to us, looking out for us, interceding for us, and always, always, always pointing to her son. Do whatever he tells you. So in this time in which we live, with the difficulties that abound, I think, for example, just to the coronavirus, right? When is it going to end? We don't know. That's in God's hands. That's in God's hands. It's for us to trust in him. It's for us to deepen our faith. It's for you and for me to persevere. Knowing, trusting, having absolute assurance of God's love. And then whatever else is in our lives, whatever challenges we face, let's make a resolution tonight to give that to Jesus, to trust them to the intercession of Mary. And knowing that our goal isn't in this life, but eternal happiness in heaven.